Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. A couple years back, when we were living in Michigan, my son Donald was young, and he was really getting into Lego Star Wars, because, you know, Lego Star Wars or whatever. We had never seen the Star Wars movies. This was like 8-9 years ago. We just hadn't grew up with them. And he really wanted to watch Star Wars. And I knew there was a bunch of them at the time. And so it was St. Patrick's Day weekend. We had corned beef and cabbage in the oven after church. I said, all right, Bob, we'll watch the first Star Wars that ever came out, Star Wars, A New Hope. How many have ever seen Star Wars, A New Hope? Man, a lot of people are like, that's dorky, man. You're a nerd, man. So I watched. It's a really old movie from, what, the late 70s, I think, and not the best graphics. And I watched it and fell in love with it, man, Darren. I loved it. So now every year when we have for some reason, Star Wars and St. Patrick's Day coincide with me completely. So I can't eat corned beef and cabbage without watching Star Wars every year. So I don't know if you have any traditions. If you're Irish, you probably do. But we love it. I wanted to take today, and really, I was thinking about as I was preparing for this weekend, we're in the I Believe series, and I thought, you know, I don't really know anything about the guy that the day is about. I know he's from a long time ago. So I looked up his story, just kind of interested, and the Lord kind of gave me a message, kind of based obviously on the scriptures, number one, but using his life and his stories and illustrations. You may not know this. Maybe you learned it in school and forgot about it, but St. Patrick, this guy that this day's about, where everybody has parades and corned beef and cabbage, was born in 385 AD. It's a long time ago. That's 385 years after Jesus was born, which you're like, if you put it in that perspective, like, wow, that's pretty crazy. And he lived to 461. He was born in Britain, born to a Christian family. And I know if we go back, my goodness, 1,700 years, that the Christian faith probably looked a lot of the same in a lot of ways, but also maybe looked a lot different on the outside. But the gospel truth remained the same. And at 16 years old, Patrick was captured by Irish raiders and put into slavery at just 16 years old. I didn't know any of this. He was taken to Ireland as a slave. And during his 6 years there as a slave in captivity, away from his family, away from his home, his faith in Christ and in God greatly deepened through his trial. And many of you can attest to the same thing. You've been through great trials in your lives, and you know that in those times, oftentimes our faith is deepened. And really, God transformed his life in those 6 years he was in captivity. Now, at a certain point, he felt, after 6 years of being in captivity, he felt that he needed to leave. He said, I have to escape. He felt the Lord saying, it's time for you to go home. So he got up in the middle of the night, walked over 200 miles on foot to a port, and took a ship back home to be with his family. But the work that God had done in his heart during those 6 years in slavery there in Ireland, God had changed him to where now, instead of being angry and bitter against those who had taken him captive, he felt a calling to return to Ireland, not to seek revenge, but as a missionary. So he got home, was with his family, and ended up going back to the same place, to the same people where he was held captive, and began to tell them about Jesus Christ and about the Christian faith. He demonstrated remarkable courage and forgiveness. And you don't just have a day named after you because of that, just because of that one thing. What happened when he went back to Ireland was the entire country was evangelized and ignited with this fiery revival of faith. Thousands were converted. Churches started popping up all over Ireland. And it came time down the after his legacy continued to live on. March 17th, it was annually commemorated as St. Patrick's Day, celebrating his contributions to Christianity and to faith and things like that. And we see in his life alone, we see themes of redemption and forgiveness and unwavering faith in the middle of trials. And his story has inspired Christians of all denominations all throughout the years. And that's why, if you didn't know that, you know it now. But I don't want to preach a message on St. Patrick. That's not the message this morning. But his story can be used as an illustration of a scripture I want to share with you. Matthew chapter 5. If you have a Bible, would you go to Matthew 5? You can use your phone. The scripture should be on the screen as well in just a moment. But I think it's great if you can turn to the scriptures in your Bible. It's always so much better than looking at a screen to hold the Word of God. We had a message last week on the I believe the Bible is the Word of God and how important it is not just to have your own copy, but I think it's important to bring your Bible to church. If you have a Bible, I'm encouraging as your pastor, bring it to church with you. If you need one, we have a whole box of them ready to give to those who need a Bible. But Matthew 5:44, verse 44 says this. It says in verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You can't see it on the screen, but in my Bible, you'll see this. This is a whole lot of red letters. Jesus spoke those words. Nobody exemplified and lived out that verse more than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God. He said, I'll read the verse again, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Let that sink in. "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Today the message is, I believe that God's love changes lives. That God's love changes lives. You see, we don't have the power in our own strength to love our enemies. We don't have the wherewithal in our own strength and morality to pray for them that use and abuse us. We don't have the goodness in our hearts on our own to love them that hate us. But through the love of God, through us accepting God's love for us, imperfect, undeserving, but accepting that free love of God, His love allows us to pour love onto all those around us, whether they're for us or against us. It's the transforming love of God, a love that not only changes individuals, but I believe, and I hope you believe, a love that also has the power to reshape entire communities and nations. We saw it in the life of St. Patrick. Went back to Ireland to love those and share the gospel with those that used and abused him. Talk about being despitefully used. And that country was turned over for God. The love of God transformed. And we'll look at three things about the love of God and how it transforms us and how we're supposed to emulate God's love. I pray, Lord, help me to love people like you love people. God, help me to see people as you see people. Here's the first one. God's love knows no boundaries. God's love knows no boundaries. We were in Matthew 5 and we read verse 44, but look at verse 43. It says in verse 43, of Matthew chapter 5, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." This is what the Old Testament had said. But Jesus came to bring a new testament, a new covenant. And Jesus said in verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." It is normal. It is in our natures, okay? And this is what Jesus is saying. For us, those who hate us, those who are against us, those who have wronged us, it's in our natural state to not want anything to do with them, and in some cases, to hate them. I wish I could say that there's never been anybody in my life that I have hated. I don't think I can say that. I think there's people in my life that I have struggled with hatred against. So why are you the pastor? Yeah, I'm human. There's people that have wronged me, lied about me, lied about my family, drug our names through the mud. And I'll tell you, it's a struggle not to say, man, I hope you get yours. But Jesus says, Jesus calls us to greater things. Jesus says, hey, I know that they've wronged you. I know that they hate you. I know that they've lied about you. I know that they've persecuted you. I know that they've done these things. But Jesus says, hey, guess what? I know how you feel. And those same people that did that to me, I died for them. God's love knows no boundaries. We see in the Old Testament the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was loved by Jacob, but hated by his brothers because he was the favorite. His brothers sold him into slavery out of jealousy. And Joseph endured years and years of hardship as a slave in the house of Potiphar there in Egypt. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison for doing nothing wrong. Joseph lived a terrible life, wronged by so many people. Yet, through God's providence and Joseph's faith in God, Joseph rose to become the second most powerful man in Egypt. And when famine struck the Middle East at that time, back in the Old Testament, when famine, there was no food, no one had any food to live, guess who needed food? Guess who was starving? Joseph's brothers that decades before had sold him. They thought he was dead. And his brothers came to Egypt seeking food because Joseph had, as the second most powerful man in Egypt, had prepared all this extra food, and they had prepared for this famine because Joseph had seen it coming. And the brothers came. They didn't know that the second most powerful man in Egypt was their brother Joseph. But instead of seeking revenge, Joseph could have said, man, I'm not giving you guys nothing. He could have put them to death. He had the power to do so. But in Genesis 50 in verse 20, when his brothers finally discover that, oh my goodness, that's Joseph, the one that we sold, the one that we left for dead. This is what Joseph said to them as they were fearing for their lives. He said, but as for you, Joseph speaking to his brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Could you imagine Joseph saying that to his brothers? Yeah, great, he was in a place of prominence now, but for decades before, he had been a slave. He had been in prison. They had thrown him in a pit. And still, as he looked them in the eyes, and they're like, this guy's going to kill us. He said, listen, you meant evil for me, but God meant it for good. Love, the love of God in us, transcended personal grievances in the life of Joseph and the life of St. Patrick, who went back to his same captors and gave the gospel to them. They saw, Joseph saw beyond his suffering. He saw beyond the pain and trial and betrayal. And he recognized God's greater plan. Sometimes people wrong us, lie about us, and our lives get thrown into a mess because of the actions of somebody else. And in the moment, man, we struggle with, man, not being angry and frustrated. And sometimes we do, I do. But then sometimes we get past all that and we look back on that situation and realize what God was doing. How God was using that painful circumstance to change us, to make us more like Him, to fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. In our lives, we are called to extend God's unconditional love to those that we might consider enemies. I'm not saying this is easy to live. It's easy to preach and hard to live. I'm with you. But that's what God calls us to do, to love those that we would consider adversaries, those who are against us, trusting that God can work through every situation for good. Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Here's the truth, and I'm going to come down here because I want you to know I'm serious. Some of you have been wronged greatly. Some of you have been lied about. Some of you in your past may have been abused. And forgiveness seems so foreign, not even on your wavelength. You have been so wrong, not completely out of your control. It wasn't like you would. No, this, you have just been wronged, betrayed, lied to, Only God gives us the grace, strength, and love to forgive. By the way, that does not mean that suddenly you have a relationship again with that person that wronged you. Sometimes you forgive and never speak to a person again. Sometimes that's what God's plan is. I believe that. But bitterness is a cancer. Unforgiveness is a cancer that eats away at us. We cannot be like Jesus and hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness. Only the grace of God and the love of God can bring us out of that pit. God's love knows no boundaries. What else about the love of God? The love, loving our enemies reflects God's characters. Luke 6, if you have a Bible, go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Again, Jesus speaking here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, and it says this. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Loving our enemies reflects God's character. In the Old Testament, again, we know the story of David and Goliath. Remember David and Goliath? Slew the giant, but later on became king. He was anointed to be the next king of Israel. But because of that, Saul, who was the king at the time, who was turning into a real wicked and evil man, began to pursue after David to kill him so that he could not be the king. Relentless in his pursuit of David, out of jealousy, wanted to kill David, who was supposed to be the next king. But on one occasion, as he was chasing after David and going through all, every here, there, and everywhere trying to kill David, King Saul fell asleep in a cave. And he was in a cave. I can't remember exactly. I don't have time to go to the passage, but he's in a cave by himself. David was already in there hiding. David had the opportunity with his men to kill Saul right then and there. Perfect opportunity. Here's a guy chasing after David, really for no reason but jealousy. Didn't know David could have killed him. What David did instead was cut off a small piece of his robe, so he didn't know, held on to it, and did not kill Saul. And in 1 Samuel 24, David said this, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, those who were the king." He could have killed Saul, and he didn't. He had pretty good reason, it seems, to do it as well. Listen, we look at St. Patrick. He wasn't going back to Ireland to be with those who took him captive for personal gain or to look popular or to one day have a day named after you. No, he went back to reflect God's love to those who had wronged him. And David, his restraint in not killing Saul, showcased a heart that was aligned with God's heart. God even said about David that David was a man after his own heart. God's mercy, God's grace, God's love reflected in the life of David, reflected in his son Jesus Christ, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus died for you out of love. Those, our sin is what put Jesus on the cross. And he died for us. Romans 5:8, "God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." By loving without expectation, we embody God's gracious character. The scriptures say in Matthew chapter 5, when we read that verse 44, that the children of the highest, we become more like God. We take on his character when we love without expectations. It's very easy to love with expectations. I think it's very natural for us to love people expecting something in return, even if it's just loyalty. And guess what? It doesn't always turn out that way. But when we love people with no expectations, we love our enemies. In those moments, we become more like God. It's easy to love those who love us. It's easy to show love to those who really need it. We may not know them, they don't love us, but they're in need. But to be like Christ is to love those that hate us. What's the last one here this morning? God's love transforms hearts and nations. Romans chapter 12. Can you go there? Romans chapter 12. Thank you for turning so much. I think it's so important for us to do this. Romans chapter 12. If you need a Bible, please let me know. If we have a bunch, and they're there to give out. So we want to get one in your hands if you don't have one. If you do have one, bring it with you to the house of God. Romans 12 and verse 21. Simple, short verse that says this. Romans 12 and verse 21. Paul says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In the book of Acts, we see the life and story of a preacher of the gospel. One of the very first deacons, Stephen, was his name in Acts 7. Not only was he one of the first deacons we see in the scripture, but he was the first Christian martyr. One who gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Stephen exemplified a transforming love even in the face of death. As he was being stoned to death for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and for preaching about Jesus, this is what Stephen prayed. It's right in the scriptures in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, as he was being, as stones were being cast upon him, as he is giving his last breath, he says in Acts 7, he prays his prayer, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." That's transforming love. I put myself in his shoes and I'm like, I feel like I wouldn't say that, Darren. I feel like I'd struggle with that. I'm being killed in the moment. And he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And guess what? Among those present in the stoning of Stephen was a man named Saul. Not the Saul we mentioned in the Old Testament, but a different Saul. Who later became the Apostle Paul. And it's easy to think that Stephen's Christ-like love and forgiveness in the face of death left an indelible mark on this Christian persecutor who is Saul. Saul was arresting and killing Christians, thinking he was doing the Lord's work, but going absolutely against the Lord's work. And he is there as Stephen is killed, and in his dying breath says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." It's easy to say, as we see later on in the next chapter, that Saul on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears before him in a bright light, and Saul's life is changed forever, becomes the Apostle Paul, and writes over half of the New Testament. The love of God transforms. It transforms. And guess what? You talk about transforming not just an individual like Saul who became Paul, but Paul traveled on those missionary journeys and thousands and thousands and thousands were converted to the, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? I'm reading scripture today that Paul, through the voice of God, wrote. And nations and the world have been changed because of the love of God spread into the lives of others. St. Patrick, he went back to Ireland, and we read that, and you've heard, and the story says that Ireland was changed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. People were converted, churches were started, people were baptized. Amazing. Those who wronged him, those who were his enemy. Stephen's prayer here in Acts chapter 7. Exemplifies the ultimate expression of overcoming evil with good. All he was doing was preaching the gospel of Christ. Listen, when we choose, church, when we choose to love our enemies, we open the door for change. We open the door for reconciliation, both in their hearts and ours. And this love, this proactive love has the power. What does it have the power to do? It has the power to dismantle hostility and anger and frustration. That's what the love of God can do when we choose to love beyond our own strength. But through the power of God, it changes lives. And all these stories, we've looked at David and Joseph and Stephen. They all are testaments. They're testimonies of God's transforming love. Christian, we're called to love others. We're called to love all. Even our enemies. Even our enemies. It reflects the character of God when we love our enemies. It changes lives in your family, in your town, in your workplace. It's not just loving our enemies, not just some lofty ideal that sounds good on paper or that sounds good in church. Love your enemies, you know. It's so much more than that. The love of God in us to those around us has the power to heal, has the power to change, to bridge divides. That's what the love of God can do. We have to go against our natural instincts. That's what God calls us to do. The love of God calls us to go against our natural inclinations of how we respond to those who have wronged us and gone against us. That's what the power of God does in our lives. Because the natural instinct is to just write off hate, talk bad about whatever, and to just completely show hatred and just... And God's love calls us to grace and mercy, and it's only through Him. I challenge you this morning as we finish up this morning. I challenge you to think of somebody. Identify someone in your life who you would consider maybe an enemy, sure, but maybe just someone that you got some unresolved conflict with. I'm going to pause and say this too. I'm not talking here about, I think in our hearts there's times when we've been so wrong that it would be detrimental to try to seek somebody out that has abused us or things like that. There needs to be separation sometimes. God does create separation. I'm not talking about rekindling a relationship that needs to stay dead. I'm not saying that. In those cases, we need to choose forgiveness in our hearts, yes. Ask God for grace to forgive in our hearts on our side. We don't need to talk to them. We can forgive in our hearts. I believe that there's many cases like that. So don't think I'm saying you need to go seek out. I'm not saying that. But let's take it down a step. And maybe just in your life, there's people that you have unresolved conflict with. A parent. A sibling. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe a spouse. Identify someone who you have some feelings of bitterness toward, unforgiveness. And I challenge you, starting today, to commit to praying for that person. I don't want to pray for that person. I know you don't. I know you don't. But God calls us to bigger things. God calls us to go against the grain, to go against culture, to go against the world's mindset that says, you've been wronged, forget that person. You've been wronged, you've been lied about, man, let them get their justice. I'm challenging you to commit to pray for that person. Seeking their well-being. Maybe even asking God for opportunities to show kindness to that person. Maybe it's just a really annoying coworker. Maybe it's not some big, crazy story, but someone at work that you just can't stand because they're, whatever the reasons may be. And you say, God, this person, I don't even like being around them. Their name gets brought up and my skin crawls. God needs strength to love them like you love them. Because God, Jesus died for them too. When we love people, like God loves them, even our enemies. Not only sometimes it does change the other person, but I'll tell you what, it always does, it changes us. It changes us and makes us more like Jesus Christ. And that is the goal. The goal is for us to day by day, by the grace of God, by the new morning mercies of God, that day by day we look and act and love more like Jesus. Because guess what? Donald doesn't have what it takes to do the things I need to do. I need Jesus and His grace and His mercy and His leading and His love. Disciples of Jesus Christ becoming more and more like Him. God, I need Your grace. I've been wronged. I've been lied about. I've been abused. I've been forgotten. I've been abandoned. God, I need to love like You love. Give me the grace to do it. I want to be more like Jesus. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you want to be more like Jesus? Well, let His love change you. I believe God's love changes lives. Mine, it's changed mine. And I've seen it change others. How many would say, Pastor, it was not that challenging for me to identify someone that I have some bitterness against? It was not that hard for me to identify somebody who I have feelings of resentment towards. There won't always be resolved relationships, and that's okay. But don't go through life carrying bitterness. Don't go through life carrying that weight of unforgiveness. Because every time you try to take a step towards Jesus and towards His will, that bitterness and unforgiveness, I promise, will hold you down. It'll eat away at you. It's powerful. It's destructive. I have seen it destroy. Let go of bitterness. Let go of unforgiveness. Somebody need to right now in your seat, beg God. Say, God, deliver me from this bitterness. God, deliver me from this unforgiveness. I was abandoned. I was forgotten. I was betrayed. I was lied to. God, forgive me for my bitterness and give me grace. Loving our enemies is a daunting task. One that stretches us way beyond our comfort zones. But God gives grace. Help us to reflect. Somebody needs to say, Lord, help me to reflect Your love in the most challenging of circumstances. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.